political science initially, and my parents convinced me that that was a round file degree, and I transitioned into finance.
That is Shellen Briand, a Salesforce Partnerships Manager. I'm Josh Burke, your host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast, and here on the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we're going to sit down and talk with Shellen about her long experience with recruiting and helping people get hired and cleaning up your LinkedIn resume and a few other things as well. I am going to go ahead and put an asterisk on everything here. We both acknowledge it's a rough time out there for the tech industry. We joke and we laugh. Don't take that as we are diminishing the fact that, it's a very anxious time, shall we say, in the tech industry, but we're here to help. We're going to start, however, as we often do, with her early years.
I started my career in employee benefits and kind of big business, corporate, lot of money there, lots of spreadsheets, putting together bids. So I did use it. It wasn't the most fun.
Right.
But yeah, it actually, that's what led me to Salesforce, was being part of that industry and having people working with their, you know, medical insurance, corporate benefits, healthcare reform, Obamacare, that whole journey. And as a company, we were looking for solutions.
So that, because that was my next question, how did you fall into the Salesforce ecosystem? But you came in through as a customer?
Yes. So we were a prospect is when I initially got involved, and we analyzed a variety of different solutions. I was a sales director, had a team of sales reps that were working with employers throughout the Northwest. And we were using a lot of old school techniques and looking for solutions. So we analyzed, you know, many different options and settled on Salesforce. And then I was part of the team that was involved with bringing it in.
How would you describe your current job?
My current job was, it's so much fun. It's just an ultimate job. It actually is why I have so much interest in the power of LinkedIn and the things that we'll talk about today, because I met the individuals that brought me in to work at Lorien through LinkedIn and building that relationship. So it's sort of, it wasn't my intention to be on this side of the business in the Salesforce world, but it's such an incredible fit. I initially got certified and wanted to become a Salesforce consultant.
Nice. Very nice. Quick side tour. Tell me a little bit about Supermoms and your involvement in it.
Yes. So Supermoms is designed to really, their organization is in place to help parents, really anyone, but primarily moms, to find, you know, well-paying, flexible roles. So being a mom and trying to build a career is so challenging. And Salesforce and the variety of jobs have those components of being able to make a great living and have flexibility and be able to make sure that your children and your family still have a priority. I actually learned about them in 2019 during Dreamforce. I wasn't there live, but I was just dazzled by Dreamforce on Twitter. And at the time I was studying for my Salesforce certification, I'd quit my job and I had 90 days to get certified and get a job. So I learned about Supermoms, reached out about a particular course that they had, and ended up kind of doing a project while I was finishing my certification. And then the pandemic hit. And so I ended up working there, and that was my job, which was an incredible opportunity. I was able to work UK hours for chunks of time when my children were sleeping. So I was available to them when they were doing schoolwork from home.
Wow. Nice. And if people want to hear more about Supermoms, we interviewed the founder, Heather Black, back in episode 146.
Amazing. Yeah, it's an incredible team and just so many individuals. My job initially was having these one-on-one conversations with people to just hear about their dreams and worries and trying to make decisions. And I learned so much about what goes into that, and then helping them go from being trained to launching their careers, and how to work through all the elements of resumes and LinkedIn and networking to find the right fit.
Nice. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because we all know it's a pretty difficult time out there for tech at the moment, to say the least. So let's kind of walk chronologically for someone who's like looking for a job.
Yeah.
When it comes to like, do you have early planning tips? Like I'm about to start a new career search or a new job search. Is there something I can do to take a step back and be more successful before hitting the ground running?
Absolutely. And I think for all of us, something to remember is the best time to do that work is before you want to be looking for a job. The second best time is when you need to. So I think for everyone, this is a great window of time to be reflective and do some preparation. So for many people, they get into, I want a job and I start applying, and it just can become very disorganized. My advice and people that have a lot of success is to just have a comprehensive approach to it so that you're taking a look at what is it that you want next. And for many people, they're not quite sure. And so taking the time to really consider your vision for your career, right? Of looking at what's your true north, like what are the values? Mm-hmm. What is it that's going to bring you career success? What's the schedule that you want to have?
Right.
You know, for some people, they want their weekends and they want to work 9 to 5. And for others, they want flexibility. They're night owls. They want to be, you know, working on their development work at, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock. They just don't want to be defined. So getting clear about what is that work life that you want?
Yeah.
Taking some time to really reflect on, you know, your strengths and your talents. We all are born with things that we're inherently good at. And I think sometimes we forget to consider, what is it that I get compliments about? What do people mention? You know, Josh, have you had somebody that said, oh my gosh, you're so good at this? And you just kind of think like, what? You know, I don't really get why it seems like a big deal, but it's because it's an innate talent and somebody else that recognizes it. You know, making sure that you're clear on deal breakers, right? Like, what are those non-negotiable elements? And then the type of environment. What's the boss and the leaders that work best? Do you love someone who can just be like, hey, tell me what needs to get done and then leave me alone while I get it done? Or do you want someone who's going to really be collaborative and involved?
Right.
So I think that's where people need to really start, is having that vision for what would really attract them. And sometimes that isn't, it's, I want to be a solution architect or I want this next job, but not taking the time to really think about, how do I want to live and what do I want my career to help fuel my life with?
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting bit of advice, because it's sort of like, don't focus on the title, focus on what you think your day-to-day is going to be like. And is that the day-to-day that you actually want?
Yeah. And I think, you know, many people, and I find this to be true in some of the more technical jobs, maybe a little resistant to the idea that we all have a personal brand, whether we like it or not.
Okay.
And that is what people say about you when you're not around.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, is that, because I feel like the first step there is accepting what you said is true. And then the second step is probably trying to envision what people are saying behind your back.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's certainly what they might say in front of you too. But I think there's this resistance to the idea, like, I'm not a salesy person. I'm not about marketing or talking myself up or promoting myself, all of those things. And that all of that may be true. And it doesn't have to be that way, but we all do have a brand. And, you know, Josh, I would say the work that you do with Dreamforce, you probably see this a lot with people who are submitting sessions, the people that are, what are they trying to communicate? What are they known for?
Yeah.
That's a unique opportunity to see a lot of people in a short period of time and the brand that they show up with.
Yeah, agreed. When it comes to promoting that brand and networking that brand, and this is kind of a leading question, obviously, but how central, just to kind of position it, like, how central is LinkedIn these days to making that happen?
I think LinkedIn is desperately underutilized by the developer architect community.
Got it.
It may not be the place to hang out because it's interesting or you're going to learn a lot or like that's the community you want to hang out with. Right. But the reality is the decision makers, the leaders, the people who are looking for talent for those unique, interesting jobs and opportunities that, you know, you all make magic, right? The people mm-hmm. that need you, they are on LinkedIn. And Got so it. I think moving away from the idea of like, this is the place I'm going to hang out because this is my community, I'm going to learn so much. That may not be the case. There's other places right. that you may find are so much more interesting for you personally and professionally. But I would say it doesn't take a lot of effort to create a powerful LinkedIn profile, a really strong brand, and a network that will do work for you while you're off doing life. It will allow you to find out about opportunities and people that you would never mm-hmm. have known anything about.
Gotcha.
So I talk to a lot of developers one-on-one, and they tell me most of the time that their job has kind of been a series of, I found about this cool job or this next job from somebody I knew.
Got it.
Right. Would you say that? Go ahead.
Well, no, I think that's actually very true in tech. I famously have had at least two people, and I'm trying to do the math in my head really quickly. Chris Fry was my boss twice. Reed Carlberg, I think, was my boss three times. So obviously, you know, kind of ping-ponging between network connections is basically how my career has always kind mm-hmm. of taken off.
Yeah, and can be terrific. And you might also not find out about some really special, you know, perfectly aligned opportunities because mm-hmm. maybe you don't know the person that was involved, but they also right. didn't know about you because right. you don't have a way for them to find out about you.
So let's walk through that bit by bit a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know you've done like whole, like I think 20, 30 minute presentations. Yes. On this topic, you know, it's only a 30-minute show or so. But when you look at a LinkedIn profile, what are you looking for that's like, these are areas that you could improve? This is how you are not leveraging your profile to yes. its maximum effort.
Yes. I would say, in general, the majority of developers and architects and the community do not have photos, headlines, profile images that showcase that they're available, who they are. That's one important piece, is just that having your face, right? Like uh-huh. that they actually get to see you, see your eyes, see your headline, what you do, if you have a niche that you serve. I'd say the other element is, many people have their profile, but it doesn't optimize for the job that you want next. So I'd say that's one really important piece of advice is, mm-hmm. and you all are, you know, masters at getting to information, but the types of jobs that you want next, those job descriptions, those companies, those leaders are going to spell out the skills, the experiences, anything that's unique about what they're looking for. And those keywords need to be, those phrases, those experience, the impact that you have needs to be in your LinkedIn profile so that they can find you. That many people have skills from, you know, 10 years ago when they set up their profile, but not all of the really cool things that you all work on, the mm-hmm. impact that you've had. So making sure that from top to bottom, it looks exactly how you'd want it to look to the ultimate hiring manager. So if you had 10 people who could hire you for your ultimate next job, the exact thing that you want to do in your career progression, really unique opportunity, what are they going to be looking for? If they weren't mm-hmm. talking to you yet, they were just investigating you, or a headhunter that they've asked to do that mm-hmm. your profile is like, yeah, this person looks really good for this opportunity. Let's talk to them.
And when you say top to bottom, is there any place that's more important, or is it just important to make sure you've got about and experience and like everything sort of shipshape?
Yes. Or so, about? Yeah, I would say the top, right? So anytime when you're on digital, right, it's that top section. So your profile photo, it's not the time for that great shot that was taken at a wedding. Some of the creative photos that are so cool in other places. On LinkedIn, you want to be like, this is somebody I can trust with my business and my system. So it's just you. Right. That would be a big one, that you have it turned on so that it's visible. A lot of people have it only that your profile only shows up for first level connections. So a lot of people just see you as a grayed out image. The headline doesn't need to be your job title at the company you work for. So you want to think about it in terms of, this is what I want to do, leaning into what I want to do next. So it could be, it might be your certifications listed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be a job title, but more, here's my expertise, anything sort of unique that you might do. So for you, for instance, right, the Salesforce Developer Podcast, if you wanted to move into, you know, more of that type of work, that's a great place to have that in the headline. Your about section should make it clear, like, what's really intriguing about you, and make it seem connected to what you want to do next and how to get in touch with you. That's that's another piece. I'd say your skills, that section, a lot of people just don't understand that the skills section is actually how recruiters and headhunters find you, because they're using LinkedIn Recruiter and you're actually searching for specific skills. So that matters.
Okay.
And I'd say for many of those in the developer architect community, sometimes your work, it's hard for you to know the impact because you've worked on a project. Yes. But I find a lot of people struggle with that of how am I supposed to really put impact or numbers to what I've been doing? It's a great opportunity to go back and talk to the business areas about what did this project actually do, so that you can get clear. We were able to elevate turnaround times on this by 40% because of the project that I was involved in. So sometimes it's making it clear that who you're selling yourself to, or maybe if you don't like that terminology, who's buying you, right? Is that they want the impact of what you can do, not necessarily just that I was responsible for this particular piece, like in my job descriptions, here's my responsibilities. It's important to showcase how you made a difference.
Yeah.
That person who wants to hire you wants to know not just that you can do the work, but that you're going to have a passion and interest and reliability around how can you help me accomplish this in my business? What am I trying to do?
And that's our show. Now, unfortunately, due to a virtual studio error, I had to cut my conversation with Shelyn short. We'll get her back on the mic, though. So if you've got any questions about your career search, please let us know through social media. If you want to learn more about this show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and links to your favorite podcast service. Thanks again, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week.